My guy Jordan, welcome to the Wire to Wire podcast, bro.
Good to be back, man. You know how to switch up the setup, get into a better space for the aesthetics of the episode.
This is a monumental episode, bro.
Oh yeah, we're coming off a monumental event, some would
Yes.
say. The event of the summer.
So
The
me.
tour of the summer.
See, I don't even know if you're trolling me right now or if you're
Okay.
actually being serious.
That's for me to know and for the audience to find out.
So me and you recently we went to the final lap to
Oh, not the
Miami.
merch. Not the merch.
This is I mean, this is courtesy of Live Nation. So shout out to them for the hat. But yeah, no, we were recently at the final lap tour, right? I thought he put on an incredible show, right? Celebrating the 20-year anniversary of Get Rich or Die Trying. So, I just kind of want us to discuss a little bit, A, our thoughts on the show, and then also too, just 50 Cent's overall legacy. So,
I mean, I think we should take it back a little bit though. Like, when's the first time you came about learning about 50 Cent? Like, as you came up, like, when's the first, what was that first experience for you when you were younger, right? Finding about, coming about that Get Rich or Die Trying album. How did
so,
you consume it?
for me, growing up at that time, it was the whole internet downloading, right? So there was like, I believe at that time I was using Kazaa, Kazaa.
Kazaa. Never
Yeah,
heard of that one. Not
that was,
LimeWire?
so that was the OG before LimeWire.
Oh,
So
okay.
LimeWire came after.
Pioneer.
Yeah, Kazaa was the original. I remember, like, Napster was the first, but I was using Kazaa, and then later on, after getting so many viruses, and I switched over to LimeWire. But I remember hearing some of his like mixtape stuff, but then I think it was Wangsta where I was like, "This guy's kind of nice." And then eventually, Get Rich came out, but it leaked well before the release date, so I was hearing that.
Right. Because, yeah, that mixtape era and again, that illegal streaming era, all these songs would get leaked, right? If you looked hard enough, you'll find it, right?
And it's crazy to think that he was building that kind of buzz and that kind of hype right when the internet was still in its, relative infancy and social media wasn't even around. I just remember hearing it. I'm like, yo, this guy's sick. Like, so from that moment on, I've been following his career like very closely, you know what I mean? And then to see the legacy he's built and the run that he went on, which we can kind of get into a little bit later, but that album was a monumental culture shifting album. And I think it like reverberated like globally. Like this guy, like he let it be known, like first it was I'm coming, but now it's like no, I'm here and I'm ready to take over. What about you?
I agree. And for me, it's a funny story, really and truly, because I wasn't really big on rap growing up, really and truly. Like, I was more the R&B guy, or even like more of that pop hip hop. Like I always had like Usher CDs, Bow Wow, Nelly, Little Romeo. I had all those CDs. Just like somehow it just come about them, whether it's just given to me from family members or my mom or just handed down from my brother. But then somehow, some way, like I can't even recall how we got the album, right? But we had the 50 Cent album, Get Rich or Die Trying, on the CD player, and then as soon as I popped that in my Walkman, like I just couldn't stop listening to it. Like I would just listen to it time and time again, and like, and it's crazy because, like, of course, like we're listening to it with young ears, right? Our ears aren't developed to the sound and the melody and the lyrics and like what he's trying to do and the production and everything. And then you just like it was just so impactful, like for me at the time, even me being just such a novice rap listener. right? But that was the one album I could say really changed my like mindset and like garnered my interest for rap, because that was just one of those albums, especially as an athlete. Like, just that was an album I always had to put on pre-game or during the game, or if I'm working out, going for a run. Like, 50 Cent was the go-to, right? And then just from there, just to see his trajectory from Get Rich or Die Trying and the movie and then G-Unit and just like what he was able to do with that crew, right? Like, something like OVO, he had way before with the unit, like with G-Unit, right? Having a crew of art of artists like Tony Yayo, The Game, Lloyd Banks, like anything they put out was heat. And it was just their generation. The whole 50 Cent, G-Unit, Mob, like that was the whole generation. And like, oh, it almost consumed you for a whole decade. Like, there was no one that could touch G-Unit at that time. And 50 Cent was the main reason for that. And again, like I mentioned with the movie and everything, he has the brains and just the production and the vision. And that's why he's just more than just a rapper, just an artist. Like, he's a mogul.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, like, and it does bring back those memories like you talked about, because I remember like growing up, like in the building that I lived in, after school, like my house, like me and my brother, we would invite our friends over, and our house was like the place where everyone came to chill. And then someone had his CD, so we would put on the CD player, right? Using Kazaa, we would like burn the CDs.
Right.
We all just had our own CD of it, and then yeah, I could not stop listening to it. And
Yeah.
I remember, like as a kid, like as soon as I had a little bit of cash,
Yeah.
soon as like I went to the store and I bought a copy of that album. Like,
Had to.
yeah,
Had to. That cover art, like you see that cover art, that red, like, oh,
yeah,
man, it was just. And the swag at the time, that New York swag, like
hey, like.
it was so influential at the time, and just like
It's
50
crazy.
Cent. Oh
Yeah, and
man.
like he was a movement at that time, because like literally he had everyone in the schoolyard like saying G-G-G-G-G, you knit, like you know what I
Yeah, the
mean?
hats and everything.
Yeah,
Yeah.
rapping the songs like in the club, like wearing the do-rag with the fitted,
Yeah.
like it was monumental what he was doing. And I would say that 4-year run that he had was, yeah, it was like the Drake before Drake. Like
Yeah.
he was the first of his kind, and what
Yeah,
makes it even more impressive.
especially because he wasn't just rapping. Like, he was able to have a track with like Justin Timberlake. You know what I mean? Like, he was able to have like he was able to make a R&B melody, right? He was able to not he was very versatile for his kind. Like, he was one of those pioneers for being able to almost rap but also have like a melodical sound with on a R&B with an R&B artist, right? Like, he was one of a kind, right? And that's why he was so impactful, right? Because he was he and he had his beefs where he would go at the top dogs, right? It was him and Kanye at one time going at each other, right? And like, for him to aim at top dogs, like, he was that guy, right?
He was, and it's crazy to think about, but like this guy, what he just managed to do within that time frame, to me, it has never really been rivaled. Like there's people who have had their runs and they've had their moments, but this guy was everywhere, bro. Like this guy was doing movies. He
Yeah.
was doing video games. This
Yeah.
guy was doing
Yeah.
vitamin water. He had the Reebok G-Unit sneakers. I remember I owned a couple of pairs.
Yeah,
He
that's
had the
crazy.
clo yeah, he had the clothing collaboration with Marc Ecko. Like this guy was doing anything and everything.
Yeah.
And then you see like those commercials where he's freestyling with Jay-Z, right? And then so this guy was just a movement, right? And it's impressive that he managed to do all this without having IG, without having Twitter, Facebook, none of these things. Like he was just doing it all off of his buzz and the amount of like music and content that he was putting out for that time. Like the way he was branded coming into it, was genius, but then he had the music to follow. Like even when he was performing, I think he did about 31 songs. And what's crazy is that he probably had more hits that wasn't even included in his set list that he could have done.
100%.
Like
100%.
he didn't even do a lot of the G-Unit tracks that were hits,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And there's some songs off of Get Rich or Die Trying that he omitted, some songs
Yeah.
off of like The Massacre and Curtis that he omitted. Like
Yeah.
he could have gone for 2 hours
He could
playing.
have went deep in a
Yeah.
bag. Like, he has so many songs, really and truly. But I'd have to admit, like, if we do the recap of the concert, like, he put on a great show, really and truly. Like, all in all, like, when I pulled up just almost as Busta Rhymes was ending. And so I saw all of 50, but I wanted to see some of the opening acts. I'm guessing Presto didn't perform. I think it was just Jeremiah and Busta Rhymes that performed. But 50 stole the show. Like, I didn't expect him to have so much theatrics. I didn't expect him to have so much like fireworks and all the props that he put out and all like the what's it called? The things that shot out, like
The confetti.
the confetti and all the stuff that he had there. Like, I wasn't expecting all that, and he just brought it out. The outfit changes, like seamless outfit changes, just he took us through the whole journey, and it was amazing. Like, even though I was out in lawn, like you could see the atmosphere that he created there was amazing, and definitely probably one of the best concerts I've been to this year for sure. But who knows? Because I got a Drake concert coming up in LA, so
Yeah.
let me not speak too soon.
You're going to LA for the concert?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be a good one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'll have to come back and give the recap for sure.
Definitely, yeah, bro. You have to, man. From what I remember, like seeing Drake a few times, he's a great performer. But
Yeah,
like,
he puts on a great show.
yeah,
Yeah.
but
But back to 50, man.
back to 50,
50,
yeah.
amazing show. The only thing that I was hopefully looking for, like, I know he brought out Jeremiah, but I just thought he would do, I thought I would see like Lloyd Banks or something. Just get into that G-Unit bag. Like, I wish I got a bit of a G-Unit re reunion of Tony Ayo or something. But
Yeah, because
other, like, again,
Yayo has
there's
a
so
few
many
hits.
tracks.
Yeah, because Yayo even has some hits too that I thought like, he could have performed.
That's what I'm saying.
There was one part where it was, I think she was it was a solo dancer. And he came and he was sitting on a chair and she started like dancing around him. And then you could hear a little bit of Drop It Like It's Hot. So I'm
Yeah.
thinking like, is this guy about to bring Snoop out right now to perform
Yeah.
that track? And then they're gonna do like the PIMP remix or something. I don't know, but I just thought Snoop was gonna come out when I heard that. And then unfortunately it didn't happen. And then when I heard him do the song Crack a Bottle, I'm like,
Yeah.
is this guy about to bring Eminem out? Because we're in Toronto,
Yeah.
Detroit's not too far. So I'm
Yeah.
like, this guy might bring Eminem out, but he didn't come out either.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think he had enough for a good show that he didn't really necessarily need to bring in special guest,
Yeah.
because like you said, he had the confetti, he had like the fire that was coming out of like the
The
pyrotonic
stage,
machines, I
yeah.
think that's what they're called. He had the live band, the guitarist, the pianist, the drummers, right? The stage lighting,
Yeah.
the actual setup of the stage, like it was just a really good show.
Yeah, he put a lot into it. Like,
Good time.
sometimes you see with these like veteran shows, like, they just come, they show up, they just, collect the quick bag, and then they're on their way, right?
Yeah.
But like, now with 50, he's such a mogul, he's such a visionary, that he's not just gonna, whatever he does, he's gonna put his all into it, right? And you see that in his ability to perform. And I was glad to get a chance to see 50, because I've never seen 50, and a pleasure to be able to relive that moment from as a kid, and then see him live, right, and just get that experience.
Yeah, and the thing is too is like when he was the age that we're at now, we were kids. So we ain't going to no concert to see him, right? So we're just looking at the music, we're just watching the music videos and consuming the music. So we didn't get to have that experience. So it was really good that he did this and that he got to connect with like his ex like the fans who grew up watching him, but then also to the people who were in their 20s. Who are going through their, adult life and college years listening to him, right? And honestly, it just kind of goes to show that when you focus on making classical art, it will last the test of time. Because you hear these rappers who are, they're setting these tour dates and then they have to cancel some shows or they got to cancel their tour. But you would think that, these guys are current. And that they're the hottest rappers in the world, but it just doesn't resonate the way his does, right? So I think it shows the longevity and it shows that his music over the test of time, it has lasted the test of time.
Yeah,
So
I agree. And I agree. And I feel like I'm just like I'm in this point where I'm just focused on seeing these legacy acts. Like I'm glad I got to see Jay-Z on his 444 tour. I'm glad I'm able to see 50 Cent on his Final Lap tour. I think it's just very important to see these legacy acts because you never know when you won't get a chance to see them, right? So, and these legacy acts are the one that shaped your whole upbringing. So
it's true.
and all these classical songs that they put out, like you had to see that stuff live, right? Even though, like another thing, like the sound wasn't the greatest, right? Him being older now, but like the performance, the energy was still there, right? So and with that and the atmosphere, and Toronto crowds aren't the greatest, really and truly, but it's still good to get a chance to see him in our hometown.
I agree, and I think like it really hit me when I saw Busta Rhymes perform because I'd never seen him perform live before, but I used to like I always heard he was a really high energy performer, and I watched some of his stuff on YouTube and I seen the stuff that he was doing. Like think about who is like some of the best performers now, and Busta Rhymes was that on like steroids, not literally, like this energy that he brought, right? And then to kind of see now, like he still had the energy, he still had the hype, but you could see age-wise, he's gone older. It's natural, right? And I think that's when it kind of hit me, like, yo, we're really in real time watching the people we grew up on get older. So it's good to see them going out there and, reminding the audience, letting them to relive those experiences, but also reminding the younger audience too that, hey, like, I do this, right? But there is an element of sadness to it because, like, damn, they're really getting older. Like, because 50 Cent, like that album cover, this guy's like a real life superhero. But the reality is, yeah, he is getting a little bit, he is getting older, like we all are. But I guess it's a cycle of life. But I agree with you on, like, going to see like some of these legacy acts, right? Because my biggest wish is I could have got to see Michael Jackson live. Right. I would have loved to see him perform live. You know what I mean? Even if
Yeah,
he's.
that sort of thing will stay in your mind forever, right?
Yeah. So it's like you do got to kind of appreciate them while they're doing it because one day they will get older, right? And you think about it, 50 Cent is 48, Drake is 36. That's only a 12-year age gap. So one day Drake will get up there too, right? And then he will become a legacy act. And then there'll be a new young rapper that's the it person, right? So
Or maybe not. Like, I think we're losing these type of artists, right? The 50 Cent, the Jay-Z, the Kanye's, Drake is on the later half, but we can put Drake on the veteran half now, the J. Cole, Kendrick. These type of generational artists, I don't think it doesn't seem like we're gonna get that again. Like we were blessed really and truly in the 2000s to have the artists that we did have. And then the 2010s, a new flock of artists came, right? In the 2020s, we find ourselves here. And it's slowly, we're hanging on by a thread with Drake and not even Kanye, but Drake and J. Cole and Kendrick. And that's pretty much it, right? Like the Big Sean, the ones that are middle tier, Wale, they're slowly, dying off in terms of their relevancy. And now if we're looking at these newer artists, really truly, it doesn't seem like they have that same longevity, influence or impact or vision or just ability to be a mogul or have that longevity in art over a long period of time, right? It's almost like these artists now are we're in this kind of TikTok generation where everything is almost short-lived, the short-lived moment, right? It doesn't have that same longevity. Like an album like Get Rich or Die Trying, there's nothing like that today, right? There's no album that we're listening to day in, day out until like Drake drops or one of those top tier acts, right? Any other artist, it's one play or that one time I'm driving, I'm looking at the car test, and then that's it, right? So that's why it's even more important just to focus in and attend these legacy concerts, because who knows where the direction of hip hop in these 50 years, 20 year anniversary of Get Rich or Die Trying, who knows what hip hop looks like in the next 50 years.
Yeah, and that's it. And you kind of bring up an interesting conversation, right? Because I always kind of wrestle with this, is hip hop a culture or is it just a genre of music, right? And sometimes a part of me says, like, okay, I guess it is a culture because of the influence that it has. But at the same time, I don't like the idea of it necessarily being considered a culture, just because of the certain background stuff that goes on with it. Like just the fact that the people who kind of drive the culture forward don't necessarily have much ownership in it, and the fact that we can even have a conversation like this and not know the direction it's going in 30 years, that kind of makes it not a culture. Because with culture, there's like consistency, right? It's like there's certain parameters and rules and guidelines that everyone knows that they just go by. So when you look at like certain cultural traditions, the way they did it 100 years ago, it's still happening this way today. And then they know in 100 years, it'll still be that same way. But if you just think about the landscape of how much hip hop has changed from the time, like from its inception, like because it's turning 50 years, right? So from how it was 50 years ago to now, it's changed a lot. And you could make the case that, okay, culture is designed to shift and evolve. But then if it shifts and evolves, is that really a culture or is that a genre, right? So that's why I always kind of have that back and forth. But going to that concert, honestly, bro, like it did kind of make me love the genre again because it made me realize that this is like, yes, what's happening today now, there's a lot of gimmicks, there's a lot of like clownish stuff that goes on. And I don't want to be that old guy on the lawn that, criticizes. So I just say, hey, you know what? These guys are doing their thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's for me, right? But seeing that performance and being there, it kind of reminded me, okay, this is the genre that I loved. You know what I mean? This is the genre that I fell in love with. This is what meant a lot to me growing up, and why I even got into it in the first place.
100%, but I just feel like going back to your last point about the shift in culture. We look at the BET Awards that just passed, right? And with the BET Awards, they did a performance where they went back and they started out with like 90s rap or 80s rap or 80s rap, and they went to the 90s, and then they went to the 2000s, and they went to the Coi Leray, and then they went to the whoever else, right? But that shift, I just see it getting a bit worse. I don't see it getting better, right? You see that shift in culture, and we're rapping different. We're now it's turning into just like a like bops, and we're getting into this cycle of sampling samples. Like if you heard that NLE Choper whatever that was, it needs to be thrown out, it needs to be put in water or something, or put in rice. But golly, I don't know. I don't know if I could say that I have fell in love, back in love with the genre, because I still know what the genre is. I know that Lil Uzi Vert one had was the first hip hop album that was number one on the Billboard charts. And that's not a hip hop album in my point, from my perspective. And that's not something that I'm gonna play like a Get Rich or Die Tryin'. Like, I'm gonna listen through, if I can even listen through, try to find those one, two tracks that I enjoy, put it on a playlist, and then that's it with that album, right? But that's in today's generation, today's culture of hip hop, that's the number one album.
Yeah, and I think what 50 did, like, it was a moment, right? Like, him coming out was a moment. Jay-Z had a moment, right? These, like, there's certain eras and moments that it just, you cannot recreate, you can't replicate. It just has to happen organically. You're right, hip hop, like when I'm saying I fell back in love with it, I don't mean like I love the genre guy. I just meant with that era, it reminded me of why I liked it to begin with, because I stopped listening to it now. But it was refreshing to see what it once was, right? It was like a reminder that this is what it once was. And you're right, it has devolved into, like, I don't know what it is now, but it's because they're always trying to mass produce, right? It's like,
And then we have AI coming in too.
yeah. And it's just, everything's just being mass produced. Like, now they're just, it's like a fact, it's like an assembly line hip hop. That's all it is now. It's just assembly line music. Like, okay, you want good production, you say a few mumbles, do it in a melodic way, the engineer will fix it up, clean it up, and then we're just gonna release it to streaming services.
Yeah, there's no feeling anymore. Like,
There's
Get
nothing.
Rich or Die Trying was a feeling.
It
You
was.
heard, oh, no, stop. Oh, Manny, man. What?
Yeah,
Like,
it's
that
true.
was a feeling. Like, that takes you back to, like, damn, like that intro, that little skit at the beginning. Like, it's, I don't know if I could feel the same with the artists of today. And, like, I can't say that I'm 20 years from now. From the Uzi album, I'm gonna be like, yo, Uzi's going on a final lap, I gotta go on it. Like, I don't think that can happen with these artists that we have here today. It's like, I can't see majority of these artists still touring like a 50 Cent would with a legacy tour like this.
They can't.
Because I don't think they'd have the same passion. Like, yes, they're talented and they can go in the studio with the producers that we have, these high-level producers, and they can make something sound good, right? And sound like addictive to this generation, but it's all just like noise at the
Yeah,
end of the day.
and
There's no feeling.
it's true, and if you look at it, right, I think it was it Lil Durk? He had a lot of dates, and I think he had to cancel some dates, right?
Yeah, I think he got sick or something. Like, I actually bought tickets to that concert because they were cheap, and they were cheap for a reason, because now they're in a to be determined status, right? So.
And that's the thing, like, and that's not to knock him, right? There's no slight against him, but it's just missing that. It's missing, like you said, it's just missing that feeling that you get when you listen to it, and it's just missing that touch that just not every artist has. I believe Lil Baby, isn't the same thing happening with him, that he had a tour, then he had to cancel
He's
dates?
canceled some dates, yeah.
But these are the premier artists of this generation. And then I just seen a video of 50 and, like, and Busta. They were backstage, and then they were saying, like, yo, you sold 630,000 tickets within a couple of days of you announcing this tour. Like, quality music is gonna last long, and it's gonna last.
Timeless, yeah.
Yeah, it's timeless,
If
right?
they're struggling now, there's no way 20 years from now, I'm gonna be like, yo, I need to go to that Legacy Dirk tour.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, because the music is just being mass produced and put out now, right? What are you going to celebrate in 20 years if you put out like three albums within the same year? Like, it's a good run for the moment. Like, you're going to get your streams, you're going to hit Billboard, in the short term, you're going to do something. But we know 03 was the year of Get Rich or Die Trying, right? But if an artist puts out three albums and a bunch of singles within the same year, in 20 years from now, what final lap are you going to be doing? Like, what is going to be your moment? Like, what are you celebrating? You just mass produced a bunch of body work and just put it out.
I mean, and then it's fast because, like, even like when I was in the lawn and then thinking about what songs he's gonna do, like, I can easily name like 10 songs that he had to perform easily. With like artists of today, like, I could, like, I don't know, there's so much songs, like, what is gonna be his set list? Like, I don't know, like, he could play anything. And then it's gonna be like, oh, okay, like, I don't know about this one. But like, you know, with 50, if every track is gonna be just one of those tracks that's memorable. And that's because of the impact that certain songs had during that time. But nowadays, like, we're not gonna get that because there's a million songs. Like, yes, they have their one hit single, but what's that, you know? Like, you, that's not the whole thing that's gonna attract you to say, yo, I have to go to this. But with 50, you know that you have to go there. I have to hear PIMP, I have to hear In the Club, I had to hear Wangster. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
and kind of because we mentioned him earlier, we were talking about like Drake and how you were going to his show, right? Like, I personally, and maybe this has happened, I don't know. I think if Drake had developed some kind of like dynamic with a guy like 50, I think that kind of perspective would help him, right? Because I find with Drake that sometimes he forgets how impactful he truly is, I think, because I think he gets caught up in the game of like, staying relevant and, trying to be on top of what the latest trends are, right?
You can see that where how he does it every time it's near album rollout. He always reaches out to the younger crowd, the younger generation. He'll do these interviews, you see, with the Bobby Altoff or whatever her name is. You see those interviews seeking out a younger generation. You see him going on Side Talk, NYC, right? Doing all these things that outreach to the younger generation and help him stay relevant. Of course, like, that's his thing, right? He always like puts forth a younger mindset. He always acts in a way that the younger generation could still be attracted to it, right? And I think it's part of his genius in one sense. But how he grows and matures from that and is seen as more as a 50 Cent type mogul, in an executive producer role, I think he can tap into it. But again, he's a chameleon, right? Whatever he has to adapt to, he's gonna do, right?
And that's the thing. I think there's certain things where I've seen him do something where it's like, you shouldn't be doing that, bro. Right? I don't want to get into like, too much specifics, but you could piece together what I'm talking about with the hand stuff. But
But yeah, I mean,
like
the
you're,
thing is, Drake, we really don't know who he is.
as like you,
We really don't.
like. Listen, to each their own. People can do what they want to do, right? Whatever floats your boat, go ahead, you do that, right? But I just think someone of his status and his stature, I think if that's a style, that's a style, cool. But if it's something that you're doing to garner attention for yourself, I think that's something that's beneath your dignity. Like, I think as Drake, you set the trends and others should follow. And I think, I don't necessarily blame him because just the time that we're living in is you always want to kind of keep up with what's
No,
moving, what's
and
trending.
exactly, and he does a good job of adapting to the times. That's why us OGs, where they're gonna be the ones, the old people, get off my lawn, like with that type of perspective.
I'm
Which,
actively like fighting that, even though I see a lot of things that I don't understand, but rather than complain, I just say, hey, you know what? That's not for me. And you know, it's something to think about because, you know, even us as like content creators, right? We have to figure out how to navigate these different waters, right? But, and we're still learning as we go, obviously, but I think the key thing is really just the authenticity of it. And I think to tie it back in with what we just, like that performance we just saw, it was authentic to who he was, right? So when he's going on this tour, he's doing it the way he sees fit. And we, over the past 20 years, we saw his evolution, right? So I think it's just about authenticity has to be the key. Now, that's not to say Drake's not an authentic dude. I think there's a certain level of authenticity. I mean, you don't get to where he is not being that way. But I think sometimes he gets too caught up in the social media world and not enough of just like saying, yo, like, forget all that noise. I'm Drake at the end of the day, right? So.
I mean, I feel similar to Weeknd. Drake likes to put forth different types of characters to roll out his albums. Like, we're seeing this new album that's coming out, All the Dogs, right? Or For All My Dogs, whatever the case may be. It's and he's wearing the dog mask, he's giving hints here and there, right? So I mean, he likes to put forth a character, and he always has to change and adapt. That's why, yes, he is authentic, because we know him for so long. But again, it's not the authenticity as a 50 Cent, where he could just be 50, and we know that we're gonna enjoy that. He doesn't have to adapt to something else or adapt to something that he's not, just to please a current generation, right? His authenticity will speak to an older generation and a current generation, just so they know he's 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson.
It's true. And like, you know, with the authenticity, right? Because he was a troll before we ever knew what that term was, right? Like you see how he did How to Rob and that got the attention of people. And he used the music as a way to like troll people to generate that energy and that attention for himself, right? And then he carries that into like other fields of business, right? So when he was doing Power and then Empire kind of ripped off their marketing a little bit. He started trolling Empire. You know what I mean? Like, so that's, but he's always been that way. So he, in that sense, you know, he's authentic. He's true to himself, right? And I find it very impressive that we live in such a hypersensitive generation. And he still managed to never get canceled, even though he still speaks the same way he used to back then, right? Obviously, you know, he has a filter to some degree, but for the most part, like he goes on IG, he talks his shit. And
Like the whole Floyd Mayweather saga was
yeah,
timeless, right?
so it's interesting, you know. But yeah, no, definitely, I enjoyed it, and it kind of made me think with all the stuff that we said about him and his impact on hip hop and stuff like that, right? When the conversation comes up and we're discussing like who are some of the all-time greats, do you think he's earned a spot in that conversation?
I think he definitely needs to be brought up, right? Because, like we said, back to that 4-year run that he did have, like he was hot as fish grease. So, and then for us, like it was just such an impactful time growing up that it's hard for someone to be that hot at the top of the game at one point of their career, and for them to be still relevant in different areas of business, and TV and it's music and then these different things, to be someone that has successfully done things at a high level in different spaces. you definitely have to hold that to a high regard. And again, it's for me personally, he's definitely one of those all-time greats for sure. Like, we went on for almost an hour now just speaking solely about 50 and his whole legacy and his impact. It's hard for me not to include him in an all-time great list.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. So, you remember when we were growing up and we were like middle school, we used to use that website VibeTO. So, I remember one time, like I was like a huge 50 fan, right? Like games, the movie, the clothes, the sneakers, like I was a 50
All that.
fan, right? And then I remember I used to like debate with people from school, like, yo, this guy's the greatest of all time. Right, and this is me like 12, 13 years old saying this kind of stuff, right? And I remember some girls like, oh, I dare you to put that on VibeTO, say he's the greatest of all time, right? And then I want you to see what happens to your popularity. So I literally did a thread at that time. Now, if you're from Toronto, you know VibeTO, you know how it works. So I literally did a thread, 50 Cent is the greatest rapper of all time. And then, bro, I was getting eviscerated. But that was me saying it like in 06, 07, right? But me saying it at that time, it was madness to even talk like that. But you fast forward 15 years later, it's not that far-fetched. But
No, not at
the
all.
reason, so the reason I was saying it at that time, aside from the fact that, you know, I was just a young kid who was a fan of him. It was just the fact that I was looking at where his trajectory was going. And at that moment, I didn't really see anyone who either had done what he was going to do, and there was no one on the horizon who was going to do it. But this was the era before Drake, right? But even with what Drake did, it's very similar to what 50 did. Like, it's not like he took what 50 did and blew it out the water. It's very comparable, right? So I still believe that middle school me, if you want to make the argument, and I probably would make the argument that he's top two and not two, I would be comfortable saying that only because I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at the moment that he had, the impact, what he was able to do with it, right? But then, you know, Lil Wayne had a great run too, so I can't discount him. And Jay-Z has been the model for consistency, so I'm not going to discount those guys either. Like every rapper that you see today, 80% of them are just imitations of Lil Wayne. But at the same time, that mixtape run that he had was inspired by the mixtape run that 50 had, right? And then the albums that he was selling within a first week, we've seen 50 do that before. So he definitely deserves a spot, I think, in that conversation. I don't think it's something that people can just dismiss. So, I mean, I personally have him in my top five. Might have to say he's top two, not two, but
Well,
I would
man,
have
hey, you might have to find that VibeTO thread and put it
to.
as a cover art.
That's probably long gone, but it's just interesting how. It was just something that I remembered. I don't know. I was just thinking about that, like after the show was on. Like, yeah, I remember I got killed for saying that 15 years. If I said it now, I don't think the reaction would be as strong.
Hey man, it could be worse, you know? You could be the voice of one thing and then killing people for that same thing you said. So it
Yeah,
could
you're
be
right. It
worse.
could be worse. You could be on a Lizzo's tour crew.
Yeah, exactly, you know? And you could be trying to eat and just try to look like Lizzo and just enjoy yourself and have a freedom to not watch what you're at, what you're eating. And then before you know it, you're getting kicked off the tour because you thought it was a body shaming free
Yeah.
environment. But who knows?
Bro, we could switch it to that topic actually, because when I read that, bro, it was so hilarious to me, right? And I know usually when we see celebrities get lawsuits, right, we usually think, okay, yeah, this is just a cash grab, right? But then when I seen a former creative director come out And then I think someone else recently who was associated with the tour that used to work on that tour, but then they left. I'm like, I can believe this, to be honest, because the words they used to describe her were the exact words that I would use to describe her, which is arrogant and self-centered. Like, for you to go to a Lakers game and wear pants with like your like just do what you did, like show your ass in an arena where there could be kids present, and you think that's okay. But if anyone else had done that, they would have got kicked out of the arena. That tells me a lot about her character. So I find it very funny that the woman who became the face of, you know, being a victim of body shaming is now the one that's actually doing it. Like, you can't write a script better than this, bro.
Hypocrites, man. There's hypocrites everywhere. We're all hypocrites. What can you say, really and truly? It's a shame, no pun intended. But I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, these artists are all just a persona, a character, and they have to fulfill whatever that character is. They have to speak to an audience. They have to try to garner as much of a community as they can. And that's what Lizzo did. She was the champion of body positivity, and she expressed it as such. But this doesn't vote well for her at all as being the voice of this body positivity community. So I don't know where she goes from her. I don't know if there is much of Lizzo, to be honest. I know she's a great talent. Like, you know, she's able to play instruments and sing, and she's an actor and or actress, and she has many talents. But telling the truth is not one of them. So.
Like, bro, when I seen that story about the whole banana situation, I'm like, that's disgusting, bro. I couldn't look at bananas the same after, bro. I'm like, damn, it's
I
just
don't
weird.
know.
It's very weird. And I just, honestly, I couldn't help but think, like, could you imagine if this was a male artist who was doing that? Like, imagine if it came out that, you know, who would you say is like someone who represents like positivity as a male artist? Like, who would you say would be that voice?
Sam Smith.
Okay, but perfect. Okay, I don't know. He's a he's a white dude, so they might give him a little pass. But
Smith could do whatever. After that performance at the was it Grammys, he could do whatever. No. Who would be a good example? It has to be someone that's like can't say not J. Cole. It has to be like a newer artist, newer male artist that's very, you know,
Lil Nas X.
uplifting.
Let's do a
Huh?
Lil Nas X. Let's say Lil Nas X, like,
Little Nas X.
because to me, he's like another virtue signaler. But let's just say that this guy was using homophobic slurs on like his crew members on tour or whatever, right?
Well, that's a good comparison. Yeah.
I don't even know if he would really get heat. He might get heat. I definitely think the reaction of what he, for him doing it, I definitely think he would be met with a lot more anger than I think what Lizzo was getting. You know what I mean? Like,
A
that's
lot
just
more cancellation, yeah.
definitely a lot more cancellation. I think if you take, let's take a guy like Chance the Rapper. He's a relatively harmless guy.
Yeah, Chance is a good one, yeah.
Yeah. So let's just say it came out that Chance the Rapper was, yeah, like,
The
this guy was behaving in a very, you know, unholy like manner. Like, he's doing the exact same things that Lizzo was doing, you know,
yeah,
body.
he's burning, he and he's. And you find him out, he's burning Bibles
Yeah,
and
he was gifted a Bible and he tossed it out the window. Like,
shit.
I guarantee you there would be an investigation into him.
Yeah.
And I think there would be lawyers who would be front and center willing to represent those people, and they would have a huge press conference, right? And then they would do a press conference, say, you know, we want justice against Chance the Rapper, right? Hashtag cancel Chance the Rapper. Like, there would be a huge movement surrounding it, right? But with her, it's going to be nothing more than a trending topic. And we're probably not even going to see how these lawsuits unfold.
I think it's, at the end of this, this could be again one of the podcast topics this week, and next week it's forget about it.
That's it, yeah. And you'll forget it. Like, we'll all forget that it ever happened. You know what I mean? It'll go on the wind. You know what I mean? With Lil Baby's canceled tour dates. But that's
Exactly.
but yeah, it's
I
interesting.
agree.
Even too, when I seen those clips of Cardi B, you know, throwing her microphone at a DJ at the end of her performance. Let's just,
I saw that. She
let's
threw it
just
at
say.
a DJ, and then now she's threw it in the crowd as well, right? And it's like it's crazy because like you see her promote it, women or people throwing water on stage to like almost get her like wet or make it seem like sexy and appealing. But then the one time someone does it, right, and she throws a mic at them, now it's where's no way any male performer could throw a mic at someone. They'll end up like Tory.
100%. Yeah. Like, imagine Future's performing at a club. At the end of his set, he takes a mic, he throws it at a female DJ, bro. He would get charged. He would get
Yeah,
charged
for
with
sure.
like aggravated assault. Like, there would be something,
100%.
right? So, I think it just kind of shows the double standard, you know, that we have. You know,
I
like,
mean, that's what happens when the genre of hip hop is in the hands of females, right? Which means
yeah.
they're dominating the sport, so they can do whatever they like.
And it's so crazy how, like, the females are coming. I'm not gonna say they're better rappers, they're not, but they're coming with the more aggressive bars.
Aggressive creativity,
Yeah, and then the guys are just, they're all looking alike, they're all sounding alike, and they're trying to express vulnerability in their music. It's like, how did this transition happen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? Like, it's
Role
really
reversal,
changed, bro.
role
Yeah,
reversal.
but
Crazy.
overall though, listen, Final Lab Tour was a crazy show. You know,
Yeah, there you go. Live
50
Nation
Cent,
stamped.
50 Cent top two, not two, right? But you know what? Maybe it's a prisoner of the moment. You know, we're fresh off the tour, so maybe it's a prisoner of the moment thing. I'm gonna have to marinate on it. My opinion hasn't changed much in 15 years, but you know, I'd have to really think about how I want my list to look. But I'm comfortable for now saying that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I have a Drake concert coming up, right, in 2 weeks. So I don't want to say too much on 50 Cent's concert being the greatest one I've attended this summer because I might be blown away. And all I'm saying, Yusuf, is if that concert is what it's been put out to be in social media and everywhere, we're gonna have a long conversation, all right? And then all this bad talk or negative talk directed at Drake and the boy will have to be put to an end. All I'm gonna
Honestly,
say.
I'm not even coming at, like, honestly, I'm not even coming with like no hating talks or anything like that. Like, he's one of my favorite rappers. He's one of my favorite rappers all time. He's one of my favorite artists right now. It's just, I guess the trajectory and the level that I had him on, or that I still have him on. If you were to tell me right now that I think Drake is the greatest rapper of all time, I'm not even going to challenge you on it. I wouldn't wholeheartedly disagree, because I do have him in my top five, maybe even top three. I'd have to meditate on that list a little bit. I wouldn't have a problem with you putting him there, right? It's just, I guess, the standard that I hold him to. I guess I just see certain things that I thought were a little bit unbecoming of someone of that stature.
So you're saying you can't put a like a bisexual man in your top five?
I don't even know that he is that, right? I'm not trying to get no.
You're gaslighting
I'm not
him.
gaslighting.
You're
He's
gaslighting
gaslighting himself. Like, okay, if you're gonna do it, do it. Why do you have to draw attention that you did it? That's just
Yeah.
my thing. Why are you putting yourself out there? Like, if you're gonna do it, just do it.
Yeah.
But why do you gotta showcase like the color and like why? And if you're not trying to get attention for yourself, then why are you doing it?
Oh no, man.
And then
No, I'll be there. Crypto Arena, Drizzy Drake, It's a Blur, 21 Savage, special guest, live in concert, you know? That's all
I'm
I gotta
telling
say, man. Paint your nails, put
you.
beads in your hair, do what you gotta do, turn up, that's
I agreed with
it.
them. You lost me at the paint your nails stuff, but that's what people want to do. They can do it. But honestly, from what I've seen on IG, it does look like a good show with the hologram, handing him his book. It's a fire show, right? So, look, I'm sure you're going to have a great time. I'm sure the production will probably be even better than what we saw at the 50 concert. That'll probably be for you that, like, if you say that's a performance of the summer, the concert of the summer, I'm not even going to knock you for it. Like, it looks like it's a really good show, right? But you just, if you run into Drake and
Yeah,
Crypto,
I'll put a word in for sure. If I happen to be in the aisle where he's walking down, I'll check his hands to see, if
yeah.
he's fine or not. I'll be like, yo, fam, you need to fix it up. My boy
Yeah.
said, my co-host is like, yo,
And
dog,
give
I can't be
him
running.
nail polish remover. I'll give it to you, bro.
I like to throw it on stage. Like throw it on stage. Like the bras. It might happen.
Just don't let him throw a mic at you, bro. But you'll be good.
I mean, he won't get away with it, so I might let him do
Yeah.
it, so
Yeah.
I can charge him.
But Jordan, this was a fun episode, and I like this conversation. It was great having you on. Definitely
Of
look
course.
forward to future episodes. When you
Yeah,
come
yeah,
back,
yeah.
let me know how that Drake show was.
For sure, for sure. There's more to cook up, man. We're just getting started.
Most definitely, bro. But Jordan, appreciate your time as always. Looking forward to having you on future episodes, my guy.
Yes, sir. Take care, man.
Take care, bro.
It's time to get the world talking about Black-led brands. We all have our favorites, our ride or dies, and ones we can count on to help us live our best lives, but we can't keep them all to ourselves. So if you're feeling like a Black Opal beauty, tell somebody. If the lip bar gives you a lip for every drip, let them know. And if your hair is doing the do, shout that out too, because one shout out leads to another, and almost half of Black-led brands are discovered by word of mouth. Join Walmart in shouting out your favorite Black-led products, creating a new world of choices at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.